from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, two men filed a lawsuit on Friday in a Florida district court against Apple over location-based services provided in its iPhone and iPads. They're arguing that the practice creates serious risks of privacy invasion and stalking. And today, Apple responded to the widespread complaints by saying, and I'm quoting, "The iPhone is not logging your location," end of quote, and announcing a software update. But the issue has left many consumers in the dark. What information is available and who has access? How much privacy do users of Apple iPhones and Google's Android phones actually have? Smartphones or spy phones? Forum is next with your calls, emails, and online postings after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Two Apple customers filed a class action suit in Florida on Friday out of concern over lack of privacy with the iPhone due to the device's tracking system. There was a previous suit in California accusing Apple of producing devices that allow ad networks to track a user's app activity, as well as a similar suit a month later for the transmitting of user information to third parties without permission. Today, Apple responded by saying, quote, "The iPhone is not logging your location," end of quote, and announced an upcoming mobile software update. But there is growing concern over privacy and the possibility of tracking information being used for invasion, stalking, or by law enforcement or governmental agencies. We're looking here at concern not only about privacy in Apple's iPhone and Google's Android phones, but also about Microsoft, which collects records of customers who use its mobile operating system. In this forum hour, we turn our attention to the tracking and storing of locations on what some have ironically begun to call the probe in your pocket. And joining us in studio is Jim Dempsey, Vice President for Public Policy with the Center for Democracy and Technology. They're a civil liberties group working to enhance free expression and privacy in communications technologies. And welcome, Jim Dempsey.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Good to have you here. Also, want to welcome Kara Swisher, co-executive editor of All Things Digital, which is a website devoted to news, analysis, and opinion on technology, the internet, and media, owned by Dow Jones, which publishes the Wall Street Journal. And welcome, Kara Swisher.
Thank you.
Good to have you. We're also going to be joined shortly by Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who has proposed some legislation on all this, and Peter Batty, the Vice President of Geospatial Technology, who actually I think is with us now with Ubisense. They provide products and software solutions that allow real-time tracking of personnel and assets. Peter Batty, good to have you.
Thanks, Michael.
So we've got everybody aboard, and Jim Dempsey, let me begin with you, because you've expressed a lot of concern about this in the past. Apple statements allay some of that concern, or to what extent does it allay the concern?
Well, you know, our concern at CDT about this data file on the iPhone and about the relationship between Apple and your location information, we really focused on what was happening off of the phone. That to some extent, I think the story here has been a little bit either misrepresented or blown out of proportion, depending upon
overplayed,
or you know, there's clearly a very important underlying issue here, which is in the course of using this mobile technology, our information is being disclosed to multiple entities. Not only in the case of the iPhone to Apple, but also clearly to your cell phone service provider, which does store the information, which does keep that record for quite some time, and also to some of the apps providers who have developed the apps that are on your phone, et cetera. I think the data file created and stored by Apple itself is not the worst thing in the world. I think what's important here is to use this as a window into what is going on with the location-enabled web and with location technology generally.
Now, some of your concerns go beyond this to why don't they put a timestamp on the location? It's not needed, or what's going to happen once cloud comes into play because it's not protected?
Well, and in fact, the Apple statement today saying that some of the data retention practices here were unintentional, in fact, prove our point that the Apple engineers did not really think this through clearly. You know, it actually—
Nor did they educate users enough. Apple said that
well,
as well in
their
statement.
Today, it actually takes effort not to create and store data. It actually takes conscious thought to minimize data retention because it's so cheap and easy to collect it. So they were keeping the data for extensive periods of time. They now say they're going to change that and only keep it for 7 days. That's a very good change. The data was unencrypted. Encryption here in this particular case isn't the most important issue, but they say they're going to encrypt it henceforth. It was hard to delete it. They now say they're going to make it possible to delete it. So they are clearly responding to the concerns raised, and they are clearly saying, yes, we were not careful enough. We were not thoughtful enough in the way we designed this particular data file.
Well, as far as Apple being concerned, Kara Swisher, you heard that a good deal from Steve Jobs when you interviewed him along with Walt Mossberg in a video which is available on YouTube. And let's talk about those videos because a lot came out. And now that Apple's made the statement, of course, they pretty much have followed through to some degree on what they had told you earlier.
Yeah, except they had said they were doing it then. I mean, one of the things was it was a response to a question about Facebook, actually, because a lot of we had just interviewed Mark Zuckerberg. He had a little bit of a meltdown over the privacy issue. And so Jobs was responding to the ideas of Facebook privacy controversies that were going on at the time. And he was saying that people in Silicon Valley don't care about this, but we do. He was on a bit of a high horse, I think, talking about how good they are and how you have to tell users again and again and again what you're doing.
How old-fashioned they are.
Yes, how old-fashioned they are. And they weren't telling people again and again and again. So, I mean, it's terrific they collected. Of course, right here on number 8 on their list of, you know, press inquiries was what other location data are you using? Besides this crowdsourced Wi-Fi hotspot stuff, and they're apparently doing a traffic service using crowdsourced traffic data. Again, something I didn't know. I'm not unhappy to contribute necessarily, but it should be part of an opt-in thing. So, you know, it's interesting because everyone gets sucked up into this privacy problem because there is no the problem is every one of these apps and every one of these smartphones are predicated on the idea of using location to help you in a lot of ways, absolutely, where is the closest Starbucks kind of thing, and to help them make more money from you. And a lot of the businesses are predicated on location in order to give you deals like Groupon or this new Colors photo app. It's all about where you are and what they can offer you and what they can get marketed towards you where you're located.
Of course, the aggregate is valuable in terms of what we can learn about traffic and things that are really important. But just how much the individual information is available
is
a real question.
It's disclosure. Yeah. You have no idea what's being – I mean, you like the convenience of these smartphones and tablets and things like this, but it is – these location-based services know where you are, and they can start to really track you in a very granular way. And as they become more sophisticated – It does bring up big questions that it did resonate. That's the thing. A lot of it, the press went wild on it, but it's the same week that the cloud thing happened, where the cloud data from PlayStation, which everybody, lots of people use, got released. So it's, you know, it's just a reminder that this is a very dicey area we're all getting into as we embrace I always say we're living the world of the Terminator plot, but it's true. You're giving them data for helpfulness, and yet there's some major societal and governmental and regulatory concerns that people should be thinking of.
Kara Swisher here with us in studio as co-executive editor of All Things Digital. I want to bring Congresswoman Jackie Speier into this, Democratic Congresswoman from the U.S. House of Representatives, who represents the 12th District in California, which encompasses the southwest quarter of San Francisco, as well as most of adjacent San Mateo County. We should mention that she's been working on a bill since February, kind of a do-not-track-me-online bill. And Congresswoman, good to have you with us this morning. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be with you.
Tell us about where this legislation is and also what Apple statements have added to the whole equation as far as legislation.
Well, the bill is presently in the Energy and Commerce Committee, and it has not been given a hearing yet.
Isn't there a hearing set up for the 10th of May, though?
Not on my bill.
Not on your bill. Okay.
That's in the Senate, Michael.
But in the Senate, I thought there was a bill set up for the 10th of what is it, how does that differ from your bill?
Well, actually, the bill by Senators Kerry and McCain is a bill that is much less effective, and it does not give the consumer the authority to opt out, and the disclosure is somewhat limited as well.
So yours does what exactly?
This actually gives the consumer two things. require disclosure and the ability to opt out of being tracked online.
There's presently no real legal framework to protect privacy in this, in the context we're talking about, is there?
No, and you know, with my work on financial privacy in the state of California, going up against the financial services industry, it's really clear that this is all about making money. It's about making money on profiling us as individuals and selling that information, and it's on profiling for marketing purposes.
So we're talking about a bill that would actually regulate cell companies from tracking and storing information?
Well, my bill only is online. So to the extent that this information is online, I guess both Apple and Google and others would be subject to it. But I think that the issue really is, does the American public understand what information is being aggregated about us by virtue of going online and shopping and going from website to website? And do they know that this information is being sold, and are they comfortable with that? And if they're not, they should be able to opt out.
So it's really an opt-out potential bill. Potential for consumers to opt out. That's the heart of the bill. Yeah.
That's the heart of the bill. Yeah.
Well, good luck. And thank you, Jackie Speer. Good to have had you with us this morning. Thank you for updating
us. Thank you,
Michael. Jackie Speer, again, is Democratic Congresswoman from District 12. Peter Batty, whom I introduced earlier, is Vice President of Geospatial Technology with UbiSense. And he has some concern, but is it safe to say, Peter Batty, you think the information is a little bit too general here to really make specific use of in the way that some people are now quite acutely concerned about?
Yes, I think that's fair to say. I mean, in general, I agree with the comments we heard so far from Jim and Kara that, you know, that there are difficult issues in balancing the useful things that you can do with location together with the privacy issues. But I did some quite detailed analysis over the weekend on the specific data files that there was all this fuss about in regard to Apple, and I think in general. While valid concerns were raised on the overall subject of privacy, that the actual data that you could gain from these files was not nearly as specific as a lot of the reports claimed. You know, I think there was a lot of overreaction to the specifics in this particular case.
In fact, from your perspective, a lot of the information is quite inaccurate. It doesn't store the history, so these concerns are not valid at all.
I think it's not true that there are no concerns at all, but a couple of things I would say. You know, one is that this is a file on your private computer, and so it's not transmitted to Apple, and so somebody can only get it if they hack into your computer or you've given them permission to access it. And in a lot of cases, you know, if you wanted to know where I was last week, it would be a lot easier for you to look at my calendar or my email, and that would give you the information far more quickly than analyzing this complex location file. Secondly, that the location file was actually a cache or a store of locations of cell towers and Wi-Fi points near you, so it doesn't pinpoint to the exact address where you were, and I showed several examples of that in my analysis.
Now, those have been the two major concerns. That's what I meant by lack of concern over the being able to specifically locate and keep track, but also to store that as a history.
Yeah, that's right. And so the third point was it really wasn't storing history in the sense that it would show the last time you visited a general location, again, not super accurately, but it specifically wouldn't show if you visited somewhere 10 times over the past month. And so, again, I think that's important in that it didn't reveal as much data as some people, you know, had expressed concern about. So in particular, you couldn't really look at those logs and determine where somebody lived or worked or places they repeatedly visited. So, you know, while there clearly are important things we need to manage in terms of that data, this specific data file from Apple really wasn't as revealing as a lot of people were concerned about.
Or what people are putting up themselves. I mean, people do, you know, using Foursquare, Gowalla, Scavenger, all these, Facebook, they put up their locations nearly constantly and quite obsessively. So what's interesting is there's a push-pull between the public, which is embracing all these location-based status check-ins. What am I doing? Here's the pictures of my children. Why don't you look at my, you know, here's my drunken debacle last weekend, and here's where I was. People are doing that in huge amounts and loving it and loving having the ability to have location data, finding their friends. And yet at the same time, they're worried about it.
But you mentioned children, and a lot of the concern really focuses on that. In fact, Jobs said something in that interview he did with you and Walt Mossberg about that kind of concern. I mean, they're using these devices, and they're using these devices, and if they can be located.
Well, interestingly, Jobs is the one. I put the word probe in your pocket in a piece I wrote. It's from Jobs, actually. He was talking about, he was sort of talking about Android, which is a competitor to iPhone. And the idea
is now doing better, as I understand.
Yeah, it's doing pretty good. Not making as much money, though. By a lot, actually. But one of the things that's important is that these are probes. And these are like communicators from Star Trek. They are probes. They do know what you're doing. And if kids have them, everything that goes with it goes along with them.
Yeah, Jim Dempsey.
I think it's very important to distinguish between this particular Apple file stored on the phone versus the location privacy issue at large. In the case of the Apple file on the phone, as Peter correctly says, this was a database of locations of cell towers and Wi-Fi hotspots that you had been in contact with during the course of your using the phone. After all, when you are using your phone, you are connected to some tower or to some Wi-Fi hotspot. What was happening here, and what is still going to happen, is that your phone communicates with Apple and says, I am at tower number whatever, which your phone collects. Apple and Google and a company named Skyhook have created a database where they have mapped by latitude and longitude all of the cell phone towers in the country of all of the companies and many of the Wi-Fi hotspots. They've done this, as Apple explained today, by crowdsourcing. Every time you check in with Apple, which is every couple of seconds, and you send the location of the number of the tower, not the location of the tower, but the number of the tower, you also send your GPS coordinates if they are available. Apple records those. Then somebody else a block away on the same cell tower checks in, sends their coordinates. Apple uses all of that over time to create this database where they have mapped the location of all of these towers. They then send back to your phone a list of the towers that you've been in touch with and the estimated, although very detailed, estimated lat longs of those towers. Not the lat long of where you were, but of where the tower is, but the tower to which you were connected. And they keep that in the phone, and it's used to sort of supplement the geolocation process whenever you're using a geolocation service in the phone, a navigation, advertising, other purposes. So the file on your phone, on your iPhone, is a subset of a database maintained by Apple, similar to a similar database owned by and maintained by Google, etc. One location, one set of latitude, longitudes for each tower that you were connected to. So in that sense, it's not really tracking in that it doesn't show every time you were at every tower, and it shows not the location of where you were, but the location of the tower to which you were connected, although some of those towers cover very small areas, and generally the trend is towards smaller and smaller areas and more precise, such that tower location can in fact be, in some cases, as accurate as GPS, certainly for the picocells and femtocells and these very small cells. But again, that's just this file sitting on your phone, a subset of a database that Apple created because you communicated your location to Apple. They say they cannot re-identify that, although clearly it had your cell phone number associated with it when it went to Apple. But then there are multiple other databases out there of your location information. Other databases that I think are far more complete than this little file on your phone. And I think it's almost a mistake to focus too much on Apple here without looking at the full picture.
Now, this full picture is what's giving you concern, obviously. Peter Betty, was that a fairly apt description that we just heard from Jim Dempsey?
Yes, I think that was a good description from Jim. I would just say, add a couple of clarifications. I think, as he said, Apple says that in this process, they don't store your specific location on the server as you're going through that process. And then just another thing from my tests over the weekend, which, Jim's description was good, but when you request information, it doesn't download information just for that one cell tower that you talk to. It downloads information for a number of cell towers within a certain radius, which varies depending, you know, whether you're in an urban area or a rural area. But so it downloads information into that file from other nearby cell towers that might be several miles away, might even be up to 50 miles away in some cases. So that's part of what makes this particular file that everyone's been talking about, you know, less informative. And I agree with Jim that I think we should, you know, while there have been valid, somewhat valid concerns about this particular file, that's not the real issue. And there are more important, broader issues about other places that your location is stored and having the right policies in general. But, you know, I think the importance of this particular issue with Apple has been significantly overblown.
Well, shouldn't Apple encrypt, and shouldn't they give people the opportunity to wipe it if they want to?
And yes, and they've said that they are going to do that. And actually, one other comment just to let people know in the immediate term if they're concerned is that there's a simple checkbox in iTunes that you can click to say, I want to encrypt my backup, which is probably a good practice anyway. And if you have checked that, then the applications that have been going around can't access this information anyway. So that's one thing that people can do.
That's good to know. And, Kara, we're coming up on a break. I just want to hear from you on, sure. I mean, has Wall Street Journal really jumped all over the story?
Yeah,
has it been overplayed?
Here's the thing. It's like the complaints about Wall Street. Probably the anger towards Wall Street got whipped up. But if you have a tin ear, if you're not listening to the concerns about this, I think that there's some very – you can start to really go in very important directions. Like Google has these apps. They have these services. They send them back to Google. They know where you are. You're not just sitting at a desk searching. You're sitting at a phone moving. So they know where you searched. Then they know where you went. Then they know what you bought. Then they know what you spent on if there's financial things. You know, something like Google, which has other assets like the search assets, it becomes really compelling to have a smartphone that follows you. You're not sitting at your desk. Then they don't just know where you search next. They know where you go next, what you do next, what you take a picture of next. And so that's why it starts to get incredibly dicey and yet at the same time gigantically helpful. It's so helpful to people that they can't help but love it.
Yeah, in fact, I was just thinking about someone we work with here whose iPhone was stolen. He was tracking
right.
The person who stole
yeah, well,
and sending him messages,
that should
thief,
give you,
and all the rest of that.
That
yeah.
should give you an idea. They can, you know, it does have implications that you can't have a tin ear towards.
Well, we're coming up on a break, and I want to give opportunity to you who are listening to join us in conversation here. Any questions or comments you have are welcome, or anything you'd like to simply put into the conversation. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. Talking about privacy and Apple and Androids and all that, and you are welcome to join us. Again, it's 866-733-6786, or send an email to forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Your cell phone, don't leave home without it. So the thinking goes for most of you who have cell phones. But new details have emerged, concern about tracking features that are embedded in smartphones, and consumers are starting to wonder what information about my whereabouts is being collected and how is it used and who has access to it and why didn't I know about it? And the privacy issue is really central in many ways to what we're talking about here this morning on Forum. We spoke earlier with Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who has put a bill in actually back in February about online tracking and who updated us on that. And with us in studio is Jim Dempsey, Vice President for Public Policy with the Center for Democracy and Technology, and Kara Swisher, who is co-executive editor of All Things Digital. We've also got Peter Batty on the phone here, Vice President of Geospatial Technology, Ubisense. And we're going to go to your calls and emails here, and let's do that. Let's begin, in fact, with Mike from San Jose. Mike, you're on. Mike from San Jose, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Speak to us.
I just wanted to, as a software developer, I've been working on Android recently, and I wanted to give users sort of some advice on what they can do to find out what kind of permissions the software needs or uses on their phone when they install it. Every piece of software that you install off of Android Marketplace requires a dissemination of information to the user as to what permissions that the software wants to use. So, you know, whenever you download software from Marketplace, make sure that you pay attention to the screen that comes up and tells you the kind of information that software wants to access and correlate that with the software itself. So if you're downloading a game and it requires access to location information, you may not want to install that game.
Good advice. Thank you for that. And I'll go to another caller right away. And that's you, Ken. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. It seems like there are nearly an infinite number of applications one can use, and they have tricky wording and all that. Is there a way to anonymize the phone? Wouldn't that take care of everything? Is there there's something called an IMEI number that identifies your phone? In the same way that an IP address identifies the location of your computer, is there a way to anonymize the phone from you? That would sort of win all battles, I would think.
Anybody handle that? Interesting question.
I don't know if there is. That's an interesting. You can anonymize websites. You can when you're surfing and stuff like that. You know, one of the problems is you really do rely on these things when you're looking for things. The reason you use a smartphone for location stuff is because you're finding coffee shops or, you know, if you use Google Places and stuff like that. And so, in a way, I mean, that was Apple's argument. That's obviously Google's. We're helping you. We're here to help you do things easier, and it'll make it harder and longer if you don't give us as much information as possible. But, you know, that would be interesting if it could go through an anonymizer. I don't believe you can because of the GPS.
Do you know Peter Batty? Can you help us out here? Peter Batty?
I don't think there's a general way to do that. I mean, certain types of access, like Apple's talked about gathering this traffic information, are anonymized according to Apple. But then other location-based services you might use specifically need your ID, you know, so these things like Foursquare and so on, where you might be looking for friends close by, it specifically needs to know who you are in order to identify your friends. Now, obviously, hopefully most people are aware that they're giving that information and that's a choice that they make.
Jim Dempsey?
Just looking now, there is something called Tor, the Onion Routing Project, which is an anonymizer, and there is a mobile Tor. I don't know anything more about it than that, but I would suggest that the caller check that out.
That's T-O-R?
T-O-R, the Onion Router.
You can just look it up, and thank you for the call.
Just one other comment, perhaps, on following up from the comment about Android, and many people are probably aware of this, but on the iPhone, any application that is going to make use of your location does pop up a question, you know, saying, and it tells you this application is requesting your location. Do you agree? So that is a feature that's already on the iPhone. And so applications can't request your location without first notifying you of that.
And we go to more of your calls and welcome Peter to the program. Peter, you're on.
Yeah, hi, it's Peter Warfield. And I think it's a very interesting conversation. But whenever there's talk about improving reducing retention or having some kind of encryption, how does anybody know whether the retention and the encryption, or even what kind of encryption is being done? I don't know of any monitor, of any enforcing, of any consequence of violating even the terms of the agreements that supposedly they set up with folks. The cell is always a convenience, but sure, you have to reveal something in order to get something. You go to a store, you want to buy something, you've got to tell them what you want. But in normal circumstances, there's an expectation in various realms of confidentiality or privacy, and that's not being used for purposes other than what you came in there for. And that, I think, is the larger issue, is enforcing in some way or having laws or whatever way works to prevent companies from letting loose or using in a way that's different from what you expected the information that they're gathering.
Well, Kara, you were saying earlier on we need more regulation.
I don't know if we need more regulation. It's just that there's all slap on the wrists for these things. I mean, the iPad, a lot of my data got my sign-in data got exposed. There was no. They just said send an I'm sorry letter. You know, the same thing with these cloud things. There's not a whole lot of teeth to any of this stuff. You know, a lot of these groups, these companies want everything to be self-regulated, which is sometimes that's a smart thing to do. You don't want to like squash down innovation in Silicon Valley or anywhere else. But at the same time, there is no nothing costs.
No teeth, as you said. No,
yeah. Well, that is the major debate that is happening in Washington right now. Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who was a leader in privacy issues when she was in the California legislature, now in Congress in Washington, working on that issue. A hearing on April, I'm sorry, on May 10th, Michael, as you indicated, before the Senate. Judiciary Committee, legislation introduced in the Senate by Senators Kerry and McCain. The Obama administration, really, I think the first administration in history, coming out and affirmatively urging Congress to pass general federal consumer privacy legislation. Industry worried, obviously, about having their hands tied and having innovation stifled. And it's really a debate and an effort to try to get this right. Probably a mix of some federal standards plus self-regulatory, backed up by the power of the Federal Trade Commission, which has gone after people who have violated their privacy promises.
I want to, before I take more of your calls, go to some of your emails. Nora writes, the people who complain about Apple breaching privacy are the same people who happily sit on a bus or walk through Safeway while carrying on a private personal conversations for every stranger to hear. Privacy was breached long ago. David from Palo Alto says, your phone company, AT&T, Verizon, or Sprint, know your location all the time. They have to. They must know what cell your phone is in so they can make it ring when someone calls you. Using cell triangulation, they can get a pretty accurate fix on you. But the phone company makes no promise not to store all your movements, sell the data, or give it out to anyone. If there is a new law that restricts collection of location data, I hope it addresses the phone companies too, not just the phone handsets and apps. And another listener, Bruce, has been pointed out that your location can be pinpointed if you post a photo on the web that has been taken with a phone that has GPS. The metadata will show your coordinates. If you post a picture of your cat, someone could figure out your home address and then garner from other photos when you might not be at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it was funny. At the same time they released a statement today, Apple announced they were going to put out the white iPhone. And, of course, it was sort of like, ooh, look, shiny thing. Look at that now. You know, people do love these things and love to do them and are, you know, gigantically overshare in every with all these digital technologies. And you know, they don't pay attention to the implications. They don't read the terms of service. They don't really pay attention to a lot of the clicks.
They can't really read the terms of service. Somebody did a survey saying that it would take somebody 300 years to read all of the privacy and policies and terms of service for all of the services and devices that you use. So the old notice model, while notice is important, yes, and while Jobs was correct, you need to present that to the a user at the time they're actually making the decision and give them the information they need. While notice is important, there are other aspects to privacy. How much is being collected? How long it's being held? Is it really necessary? And those issues need to be part of the mix.
There's another aspect of privacy that we haven't broached that's part of the mix, and I'd like your thoughts about this since civil liberties is your bailiwick, and that is, you know, police use of this kind of information. I mean, police have used iPhones for conviction. They in Michigan, state troopers actually used iPhones. I mean, you see that this can be actually a good tool for law enforcement.
Exactly.
Yet at the same time, there are people who are very paranoid about it, especially where the government is concerned.
Well, exactly. And this is why I'm saying that this Apple story for all of the hype associated with it, does open a window onto this broader issue. As one of the email listeners had indicated, the telephone companies, after all, you're in communication not only with Apple, but you're using AT&T to get there, you're using Verizon or T-Mobile, they are tracking your location. They are picking up that tower information and recording it every single every seven seconds when your phone registers, every time you check your email. And right now, again, we're having a major debate in this country. The courts are split, and the Justice Department argues that they do not need a warrant. They do not need to meet the constitutional standard in order to track your phone, in order to access this data, or for that matter, any other data.
Department of Homeland Security pretty much takes that position.
Well,
don't they?
Department of Justice, which has the lead on the issue, and they are going to the phone companies with a variety of orders and demanding cooperation, and the phone companies have to cooperate. A number of the phone companies, or AT&T, is out there saying the standard does need to be raised.
Actually, I think this caller is right on point. Randy, join us. You're on the air on Forum. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Speak
I'm
to us.
I'm curious, if we don't have good, if our Department of Justice is not working to protect us against the use of this information, what is government there for?
That's a longer debate.
Well, as Michael said, this is an important tool. The government clearly has compelling interests here, but they need to be subject to checks and balances. And the law clearly has not kept pace, not only on the commercial privacy side, but in my view, particularly on the constitutional privacy side, that is our rights vis-a-vis the government.
But there are some issues with people being responsible. And you can write terms of service that are very clear. We have a thing on our site where you cannot sign into it when you first come there without reading our cookie policy. It's in yellow. It's very bright. We write it in plain English. We say, these are cookies. They track you. Here's how to take them down. You can do it in simple and easy ways. And, you know, Facebook ran into a buzzsaw when they wrote the most confusing things around your privacy. It absolutely can be done, and it can be compelled for these companies to write in plain English.
That's
this
true.
Is what we're doing. And people do pay attention. People love our cookie policy because not advertisers, because we're saying here's how to take them off.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of people say, well, younger people don't care about privacy. In fact, the studies show that younger people tend to be more using of the privacy settings and to pay actually more attention to what are the controls that are available to them and to use those controls.
They might not
controls.
Care about other people's privacy. They like to put pictures of people and things. And,
yeah,
you know,
but they believe in sharing with their friends. They are, I think, more sensitive than sometimes to give them credit for.
I think consumers are smart in that regard. And if you give them it in clear, plain English, and you can do it, it's such a ridiculous debate that these terms, you know, when people talk about the terms of service being difficult. They don't have to be. You can explain it very easily. This Apple press thing is very easy to understand. It's a little bit. They do a little bit. We're not collecting location data. And by the way, we're collecting Wi-Fi data. It's location data. Like, you know, they could be a little more plain English, but it's pretty clear what they're doing. And more of that and easier terms are very easy to do. And they don't want to do it because it people, once you start to explain it to them, they do get more privacy.
Let me read a comment off of the web here, which comes from an anonymous source who writes as an active participant in the tracking industry and says, I write software that does anonymous tracking for advertisers. The problem with all this tracking, malicious or otherwise, is that the owners and authors of tracking systems always presume good faith on behalf of everyone out there. This we give little thought to. What would happen if this data got in the wrong hands, or this software or this phone got to the wrong people? We don't think about how this interacts with other systems on the phone or the computer. What if there were a virus or a misfunctioning phone and so on? This problem will not be solved until we software developers change our fundamental assumption. The world is full of people with bad intent who will use all information available to put to bad use and then build systems that protect against that.
Well, yeah.
We've been promoting a concept, and we did not originate it necessarily, but we've been promoting the concept of privacy by design, which basically says the engineers, the developers, the software writers need to be much more conscious about the privacy and security implications of what they're building. They need to take the time to build in these controls, to think carefully about, do we really need to collect this information? Do we really need to hold it for this period of time? And in a way, now Apple is saying, yeah, you're right, we should have thought about this more carefully. We're now going to go back and redesign this data file to minimize it. Again, a microcosm of how this concept of privacy by design needs to be applied.
Well, that's an appropriate question from Jay, who says, why does Apple collect the tower data at all? How does it help to provide me better service, especially since AT&T is the carrier?
Because Apple is providing you on the phone with a variety of services, which Kara says, which you love and you depend upon, and having this data stored on the phone speeds up the process of determining your location when you want it.
Xavier, join us. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael, and good morning to all of your guests. I'm a gray beard in the industry, so to speak, and I've been working since the 70s on engineering systems, and I'd like to support the previous caller's concept of engineers paying more attention to privacy, and I applaud Jim's work on that area as well. I wanted to address the definition of a word here, because that's so important in the way that we discuss these things, and that's the word anonymity. And I have to tell you that every single one of your guests, and you, Michael, as well, have been misusing that term. The correct technical term for what you want is pseudonymity, not anonymity, because anonymity is not technically possible on any of the modern communications networks that we have today. They're actually designed, all of the protocols, going back down into TCP/IP, IP, et cetera, are all designed effectively to surveil either themselves or any nodes in those networks. So reverse engineering that is fundamentally not a good way to do it.
Gee, I'm not even crazy about the word anonymize. We got to change that to pseudonymize?
Pseudonymizing is the correct technical term, and I encourage all of your guests to adopt that and never again use the word anonymity.
Another
I've been
horrible
saying this for 20
tech
years
term.
On panels with Jim and with others. I've said it directly to Representative Speer, Congressman Speer. I love her work, but this is one of those examples where, there's a real problem. I have one other quick comment before you send me away.
The language is important. I'll concede that right off the bat here. Thank you for that.
It really is. Yeah. I'd like to point out that in some very significant technical work that some colleagues and I have been doing over the last 25 years or so, as a cryptographer, I can tell you that in all engineering situations, we try to evaluate what a, quote, sophisticated attacker, unquote, would be capable of doing. And here's where I have to address the conversation that you're having this morning, and that is that the consumers have a completely unfounded expectation of what's going on with their phone. For one thing, you guys talk about the tracking of location privacy information while the call is in effect, but in fact, these devices are constantly tracking. Even when they're off, there was a revelation a couple of years ago that the FBI could turn on the microphone on a phone when it was turned off and the battery had been removed, because there's backup battery in the phone. So I wanted to make this very strong and emphatic point to you guys that, one, you have to use the right words and not mislead or miseducate people as to what's even possible, because that creates false expectations. And secondly, we have an infrastructure here which is being paired up with a generation of young people who I consider to be kind of a lost generation. I think they're going to suffer some terrible consequences in 10 or 20 years when it becomes known what's really going on. And I'm sorry to say this, but even Apple, which I like their computers, I use them, this stuff is really, really badly out of control right now.
Okay. I thank you for that graybeard wisdom. Appreciate your call. Let me go back, to Peter Batty.
It does go back to Scott McNeely. Privacy. There's no such thing as privacy.
Yeah, that's right.
It really does. And
He said that 20 years, and we're still fighting about it, though. So
right.
People clearly still
care.
Do care.
Yeah. Is that true from your perspective, Peter Batty? There is no such thing as privacy?
I think I would say there's certainly a trend towards less and less privacy, and we've been focused on location here, but it's really obviously a lot broader than that. Information about your finances and so on, And I was also going to say, I think we focus a lot on location tracking here, but there are also other location-related things that you have to be conscious of. You know, every time you take money out of an ATM, your bank knows that you were there. And so there's a lot more things as we do these electronic transactions that, you know, people somewhere know about that information. So it's important we have sort of the right broad policy framework, but I think there's inevitably greater information about people that's accessible. We need to manage that.
Well, can I get you on record, Peter, about this web comment, people with bad intent and all that sort of thing? I mean, you've expressed some concern about children using these devices and being tracked, and certainly even Steve Jobs did in that interview that I've alluded to that he did with Kara Swisher. Can you sort of pinpoint what the concerns ought to be there?
Well, I guess one comment I'd make on that is I think you do have to maintain a suitable balance. You know, if somebody has, if somebody sees a child in a photo and can determine where that location was taken, you know, somebody with bad intent can be walking past a playground and see the children there. And so, you know, personally, while, you know, there may be certain concerns there, I'm not sure they're as big as the concerns, you know, just in the world in general. So I think that's something to keep in mind in a lot of these things. When somebody says, I could identify the location that photo was taken, think back to the real world and what are the risks there that, you know, may well be broader.
And once again, Peter Batty is Vice President of Geospatial Technology of UbiSense.
But the thing is, you can think globally, not just kids and playgrounds kind of thing, but think about China. Facebook is going into China. It's probably going to link the U.S. citizens with the Chinese citizens. They may inform them that the Chinese government is spying on them, but the Chinese government is, you know, you've got a very malevolent government there that likes to track and spy and do stuff like that. And so it can have, you know, and then what happens in the Middle East, it can have very really disturbing implications when you get governments.
As Google found out in China, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, but that's the way it's heading. Facebook's going to China. That's all I have to, you know, think about what happens when that happens.
So a listener named Richard says, when I connect my device to iTunes to synchronize and I am not connected to the internet, iTunes will tell me. Aren't my device location files transmitted from my PC to Apple during the sync process?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And some of them are unencrypted and you can click the thing where you you should encrypt them.
He's just wanting to confirm that.
Yes.
Yeah, but they aren't transmitted to Apple, these files, in either
they're
case.
They're in iTunes.
Is what Apple have said, and nobody has provided evidence that they are. So
again, the transmission to Apple occurs long before the syncing. The communication with Apple occurs while you're using the device, while it's on, for this crowdsourcing of the database.
Well, another listener, Danielle, asks, she says, Apple's response mentions using cell tower and Wi-Fi hotspots. What about when using home Wi-Fi? Is this tracked? I assume so. This is very accurate information about location.
No, I don't. They didn't mention that, but I don't believe so.
What, Peter, do you know?
Yeah, well, I think your home Wi-Fi's access point is treated just as other Wi-Fi. So general, they build this crowdsourced database where they know on this spot I can see these particular Wi-Fi access points. So I don't think it enables you to be tracked any more accurately that they could tell you're definitely at home. So it's one of the access points that is used in this process.
Well, although it is only going to be a matter of time before somebody takes the next step in the Wi-Fi databases. So Google, through its Street View automobiles, was also doing precisely this thing. They were tracking the location of the Wi-Fi hotspots, including home Wi-Fi hotspots, which have relatively small circumference of reach. And it's only going to be a matter of time before somebody mashes that up.
It's inevitable, isn't
with
it?
Regular, if it hasn't been done already, with regular street data and with other kinds
such
of data.
Such as Google.
Yeah. Let me go to some more web comments. Colleen says, how about the fact that the new Clipper card tracks you as well? You can download a complete history of your travel from that site. It's quite interesting. And Faye says, just like I clear cookies from my computer to delete showing which sites I visited, it seems logical to be able to clear cookies from one's phone. It seems a DIY solution is in order. Just as some of us are more technical and built our own computers and tweak applications, we should have the choice to tweak our phones to gain greater privacy. A tweeting teen posting trivial Facebook updates may not care about divulging information, but some of us do. And Brendan, this is sent from his iPhone, says, I don't see how this information gathering is any different from the data that something like Facebook gathers on users daily, where ads are directed towards people based on what they like. It's just something that this technology now generation is going to have to face. We're all much more visible.
It is different because you're moving with it. I mean, these are sophisticated. The iPhone and the Android phones are more powerful than any computer I had in college. I mean, these are sophisticated computing devices with location abilities. It's very different than sitting at your home on a stationary computer. And that's why it's of concern.
Kevin also just pointed out to me an interesting point that your Fast Track also keeps a list of which bridges you've crossed and when you've crossed them.
So there is no
privacy.
This
is the age we live in, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that there's just a quick comment. There's a reasonable analogy with your browser history as well. So, you know, you store, your browser stores a history of the sites that you've been to, and then cookies, which were mentioned before as well. And you have the option to clear those out, and by default, those are probably stored for 30 days or something. But there are analogies there, and you should have similar capabilities with location information. And I guess Apple is sort of providing that in some ways with what they've said they'll do, in that if you turn location services off, that will clear the cache completely.
Well, there's a lot more work to be done, especially on the legal front, and things are moving so quickly, as they always do in the technological world. They're just keeping up with this and keeping a pace of it legally and in terms of monitoring is quite a job in itself. But we will certainly try to keep you informed. I want to thank those who were with us this morning, Jackie Speer, who joined us earlier, Democratic Congresswoman from the U.S. House of Representatives, and Jim Dempsey, who was here with us in studio, Vice President for Public Policy for the Center for Democracy and Technology, and Kara Swisher, Co-Executive Editor of All Things Digital, and Peter Batty, who joined us by phone, Vice President of Geospatial Technology with Ubisense. And thank you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We appreciate your listenership, and we're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated, 10 to 11 in the evening. I want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Kevin Guillory and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.